I think I'm like a, like 2.5, 3 weeks from being able to start running on the ground, but you know, it feels good.
Welcome back to the latest Know Them From Adam podcast, where we are at the intersection of pro and college football with the NFL scouting combine getting underway this week and free agency starting next week. So we figured we'd bring both elements together in one podcast today and start out with the Packers free agent running back Eddie Lacy, who hasn't been heard from much since he hurt his ankle and underwent ankle surgery after the fifth game of the season, and then bridge over to the Giants Pro Bowl safety Landon Collins, another former Alabama standout, previewing some of the Alabama players who will be at this week's combine and what he expects them to do there and in the NFL in future years. So it's two former Alabama standouts, Eddie Lacy and Landon Collins, talking about the events that will unfold this week and next week in a very special podcast edition of Know Them From Adam. Hey, Eddie, thanks very much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
And I appreciate you for having me.
What is this time like for you? This is a very big period in your life coming up here. I'm sure you're aware of that. There's a lot of speculation about your future. What's your mindset right now heading into this critical period?
I mean, it's just controlling what I'm able to control. And, you know, that's what I'm able to do in this offseason. You know, even though I'm coming off of the surgery, you know, just rehabbing, making sure I'm getting my ankle right and, you know, attacking and doing everything to the best of my ability.
You say that you're coming off that surgery. How is that ankle faring right now?
It's pretty good right now. I think I'm like a, 2.5, 3 weeks from being able to start running on the ground, but, you know, it feels good.
So if a team brings you in for a physical on, say, March 9th, March 10th, March 11th, whatever the day may be, would you be able to run at that point? Would you be able to pass a physical, or where are you at with that?
That's what I'm hoping for, but, you know, if not, then I pretty much just have to take it how it is, but I'm hoping to be able to run whenever I do have to visit, these teams.
How did the injury exactly happen, Eddie? And did you know it was broken at the time?
Well, no, it happened against the Giants and, like right after halftime in the third quarter. And I wasn't able to finish that game because, you know, I tried a lot of different taping tricks and everything, but I wasn't able to finish that game out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did an x-ray, and it showed us a high ankle sprain. And, I mean, I've played with high ankle sprains pretty much since I've been in the league. So, you know, we did the regular treatment throughout the week. I didn't practice much. I was very limited, you know, just trying to get it back for, you know, the game following Sunday. And, you know, I went to the game, felt good. I had a tape still. And I guess from jumping around and doing, you know, what I was doing on the field that day, I think that's what, you know, made it a lot worse.
And what was the actual injury to the ankle? What did the doctors tell you about that?
Well, I messed up my deltoid ligament and I, like widened the bone on my ankle.
Yep.
So I pretty much had to get 2 screws, 2 wires, and a plate to fix it. And because I messed up the deltoid ligament, that's what's taking – that's the longest thing to heal. So that's why my healing process is so long.
Yeah, I remember you played 5 games this year, and I remember the news of your surgery, if I remember correctly, came towards the back end of the week on a Thursday, if my memory serves me correct. And it seemed to come out of nowhere because you had played the previous week with the injury despite all your taping tricks. So how did that all happen?
I mean, you know, like, I felt good going into the Dallas game. And after the game, you know, it felt the same way it did, you know, the previous week. And, you know, I did the same thing, but I wasn't able to do as much as far as walking. Like, it didn't feel as good as fast. So I ended up getting another MRI, and then that's when we found out.
So let me get this straight, Eddie. There are actual taping tricks that running backs engage in when they have ankle injuries like that? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they got a couple different things you could do. I wish I could explain it, but I really don't know. But, you know, they got, like, heel lifts that you could put in your cleat. So, you know, that prevents your foot from going to certain how much pressure you can put on it. I mean, there's a lot of different things you could do to, you know, mask the pain.
So free agency starts March 9th, Thursday, March 9th, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Pacific time. What are you looking for with whichever team you wind up landing, whether it's Green Bay or another franchise, Eddie?
You know, just another opportunity to go out and show that, you know, I still can play, like I haven't lost anything. I mean, it's not like I have much to prove, like we all know, like once I'm on the field, like how I can contribute. So, you know, I just want to go out, have another opportunity to play the game that I love, you know, show what I could do and, you know, try to end up being one of the best.
A simple question. What can you contribute?
One, like, it'll be hard for, like when I was with Green Bay, you know, it's pretty much hard to just stop, like, the quarterback from passing. Like, you have to, you know, pay attention to me just as much as you have to pay attention to the quarterback. So, you know, it opens up the field on the outside, and that's what I can bring to teams. And, you know, breaking tackles, wearing defenses down in the third and fourth quarter, still running the way I was running in the first and second quarter. And that's what I'm good at doing.
Do you think that it's possible that you will be back in Green Bay, or has there been a lack of communication that makes you think that you will be moving on somewhere else?
Talking to my agent, the Packers, you know, have been very vocal about having me back there.
And so you'll be able to sort that out. And do you have a preference in terms of the type of offense that you're looking for?
No, not really. I mean, I feel as though I can run pretty much in any offense. I mean, the more downhill, the better. But, I mean, I think I could do, like, whatever I'm asked of. I mean, I've run out of shotgun in Green Bay. I run from behind the center, from under center, with a fullback in front of me, without a fullback. I can pretty much do whatever I'm asked of.
You talk about rehabbing the ankle, and I saw the other day that you were putting on social media a video of you in the swimming pool. What does that do for you? You're down in Alabama training in a swimming pool, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm down in I'm back down in Alabama. But yeah, so there's, like, it's water currents that pushes against you, and, I mean, there's different, there's various speeds of it, and, you know, it's like, well, they call it here, like, play drive. So, like, one drive I'll run for 20 seconds against the currents, and then I'll get, like, a 15-second break, then I'm right back at it for maybe 10 seconds, and then get another break in. It's just constant running that's allowing me to put pressure on my ankle without putting too much pressure on it because mm-hmm. you're in water. But, you know, still getting good work in.
So how do you feel now, overall?
Overall, I feel good. I mean, I still have, you know, a ways to go. But, you know, I can just do what I can do every day and, you know, just try to do the best I can every day.
Is there any concern that you won't be ready for off-season program or training camp or anything like that?
Well, my healing process is 4 to 6 months, and on the 26th of this month, it'll be the fourth month. And, you know, I'm going to try to go out and run, but if it's not comfortable, then, you know, I'm going to just continue doing what I've been doing. But by April, whenever I have to report, I should be, you know, close, like, I should be able to go out and do everything.
Right, so by that math, April 26th would be the latest that you would be ready, which would tell me that for the off-season program, you're ready to go, but there's no need to rush anything. You've got plenty of time. You can get ready for training camp, learn an offense, get used to a system, do whatever it may be, and there's no rush. But that for training camp, it should not be any issue at all. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, correct.
Have you paid any attention to the other running backs that are in this free agent running back class, LeGarrette Blount, Latavius Murray, Danny Woodhead, Le'Veon Bell, I think, will be franchised, potentially maybe even Adrian Peterson. You paid attention to some of these other running backs that will also be free agents, Eddie?
My agent brought it to my attention when we met a few weeks ago, but as far as that meeting that we had, that's pretty much all the attention I paid to it.
So when you meet with your agent, does he lay out to you how this process will unfold?
He kind of gives me an idea of it, you know, what I can expect. Like you just said, the guys who will also be in free agency. And pretty much, you know, when it comes to me, what teams are worried about. And, you know, from that aspect, I just got to control what I can control. And, you know, I really believe, like, everything will fall into place. It'll work out the way it does. And even if it doesn't, like, whatever opportunity I get, I just make the most of it and then see where it goes from there.
What are you expecting to happen here these next few weeks? How, in your mind, do you envision this playing out?
See what opportunities I have. See what teams are, willing to, have me on their team, and how many years, whether it's 1 year, 3 years, whatever that may be, and just doing what's best for me in my situation.
I brought up Adrian Peterson before. At one point, he listed a few different teams, including the Texans, the Buccaneers, the Giants, I believe, that he would be interested in playing for. Do you have any type of wish list of teams at all that would appeal to you? And we don't know whether or not they'd be interested in you, but are there certain teams that you would find appealing?
I mean, they are, but, I was told, I really can't name.
Yeah. Well, you can name teams. Yeah, you can name teams. They just can't name you.
Well, I don't know. I just rather not get into it.
That's fine.
But, whatever team is interested.
I brought up Adrian Peterson before, Eddie. I'm curious to know, you've played against him in that division for an awful long time. Can you fathom the idea of Adrian Peterson playing somewhere other than Minnesota?
It'll definitely be different. It'll be different because it's something like no one's used to. And, I don't pay attention much to it. I don't really think that, he'll leave, or I don't really know much about it. Mm-hmm. But it'll definitely be weird seeing him in different colors.
He's been so good for so long. Who, in your mind, is the best running back in the game today?
I would have to go with AP. He's been playing for a long time. He's had injuries, bad injuries, and still came out with top rusher in the NFL. His work ethic, what he was able to accomplish, all of that, I definitely have to go with AP.
I think there's a lot of people who think it could be the end of him in Minnesota just because it's going to be tough to come up with a restructured contract. If you were forced to leave Green Bay, how would you remember your time as a Packer?
Man, it was literally one of the best times I've had. The guys that I've been able to meet, the friendships that I've been able to make, the fans you meet just walking around the store, how cool they are. They don't really press you, but they want to come up and speak to you. It's just a great time. If I'm not able to be there anymore, I will miss it. Definitely, no way about that. But it was definitely a good time in my life.
How much time have you thought about the fact that maybe you are done playing in Green Bay?
Not much. I'm trying not to think about all of that right now. I'm just trying to make sure, whether I end up in Green Bay or I end up somewhere else. I'm in the best shape, or I'm in the best position that I can be in personally. Yep. So when it's time for me to contribute to whatever team that is, that they're getting 100% of me.
Eddie, I want to ask you, when Hurricane Katrina happened, your family was one of the families that was displaced at that time. And when all was said and done, you wound up buying your parents a home. How are they doing, and what was that period like in your life?
That was one of the, literally the worst experience of my lifetime. But for me to be able to, stay the course for my parents, to be able to keep me mentally on course, and, for me to make it to where I can change, what happened. Well, not what happened, but I can change, the circumstances from back then. Mm-hmm. So, my circumstances to better circumstances now. It means a lot. It's definitely a blessing. But as of right now, they're cool. They're at home, just hanging out, trying to figure out what I'm going to do, because I don't know. So they're having a good time. I spent the week with them, hung out at home all day, literally, just to, because I'm not around them a lot. So they're doing real good.
Where is the home that you bought for them?
They live in Gonzales, Louisiana, which is about 15 minutes before you get into Baton Rouge.
So I'm not the only one that's curious about where your future is going to be headed. They're also curious. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Man, every time they read something online, because they do all of that, and they're asking me about it, and I'll be like, Mom or Dad, I don't know. Stop reading it. I can't tell you. I don't have an answer.
You know, it's funny. We spoke to Jimmy Garoppolo last week, and it turns out his mom is one of his best sources of information. She fills him in on everything that's going on, that's being talked about out there, where he may or may not be going. So it's not just Jimmy Garoppolo. It's your mom and dad, too.
Yeah, my mom, my dad, sometimes my brothers. It's all of them. Everybody but the person that's going through it, basically.
And you try to detach yourself from this as much as you possibly can, but I guess in a certain sense they're as curious as anybody else and they can't let it go.
I try to tell them as much, like, I mean, I know y'all read what y'all read, but try to keep it down a little bit. Like, I don't really know all the stuff that's on there.
What was it like to be able to give back to your parents in such a life-changing way?
It meant a lot to me. It was one of my emotional stages in life because to see my parents, you know, like, literally 100% genuinely happy, and it was because of, you know, what I was able to do, what they raised me to do. I mean, they raised me to go to school and stuff too, but because of, you know, what I was able to give back to them and the way I'm able to change their life from working 2 and 3 jobs a piece to maybe having like one job or like a part-time job or, you know, just making their life as easy as I can make it. Because I can't give back to them what they've given to me over the years. But, you know, what I can do is, you know, whatever I'm able to, whatever they want, which they don't really want a lot. So it's kind of tough, but whatever I'm able to give back to them, I mean, it just makes me happy.
Is there something that you still would like to do financially if you got the contract you wanted in this particular free agent signing period? What's left for you financially to still do?
Probably I'll give my next thing I'm going to give to both of my parents is a new car because they both need a new car. So hopefully I can do that this deal. But, like, at some point in time, like, they'll definitely get a new car and just help my brothers and them out in different ways.
Now, we also have the Combine coming up next week, Eddie, and there's a lot of Alabama players there, and I'm sure you probably still pay close attention to the program. Who's the one Alabama player that you've seen play who's going to be at the Combine that you think will make a really good NFL player?
Oh, that's a tough question because, honestly, I would have went with Ruben, but he's not going to be in it. That was going to be my guy.
You like Ruben him, huh?
Foster. Oh, yeah. Hopefully we get to play against each other.
Yeah, but just because he's got the rotator cuff, he's going to miss the Combine, that doesn't mean that he still can't be a great pro. So what makes you think that Ruben Foster will be a great NFL linebacker?
No, he's smart. He gets to the ball fast, shed blocks fast, great tackler, power hitter. And, I mean, I just think he'd be a great person to play against. But for him personally, like, he's what you want, like, in that position.
Eddie, my last thing for you, again, free agency coming up here in the near future. What's the one thing that you want teams to know about you as they begin to ponder the possibility of signing Eddie Lacy?
You know, when I'm on the field, you know, it's 100%, you know, it's me. I'm giving all I have for me, for my teammates, for the fans. And, you know, everything that I do is, you know, I'm doing it with my heart. And, I mean, they just get a solid player.
Hey, Eddie, I appreciate you taking some time today to join me on this podcast. Lots of luck in free agency, and I hope it works out just the way you want it to.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And so there's the Packers free agent running back, Eddie Lacy, who has an uncertain future but should get clarity here in the next couple of weeks. And coming up, we'll be talking to the Giants Pro Bowl safety, Landon Collins, who also starred at Alabama, and he'll preview some of the Alabama players in attendance at this week's scouting combine in Indianapolis. Today's Know Them From Adam is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with a step-by-step easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/AS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/AS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Excited to be joined now by the Giants' Pro Bowl safety, the former Alabama standout, Landon Collins. Landon, congratulations on a great season. We appreciate you taking some time today in this busy week. We've got the scouting combine coming up in Indianapolis, and a bunch of your Alabama guys are going to be there. So if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to step out of your role as the New York Giants safety and into the role of scouting talent evaluator to give me a synopsis of each of the Alabama players who are going to be on display for NFL scouts and coaches here in the coming days. Okay. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
What do we know on Jonathan Allen, the defensive lineman?
Okay. Fast, powerful. Definitely has a mean bull rush and definitely has moves. Athletic ability is out this world. And smart. He knows schemes and he knows does his job to the best of his ability.
When you say athletic ability out of this world, what do you mean by that?
You should see him on the court.
The basketball court.
Yeah.
What do we got?
He could dunk and he got handles. I'll tell you that much. He got his feet not bad.
For a big guy.
Yep.
How about defensive lineman Dalvin Tomlinson?
Let's see. Big, strong, could lift the world. Smart. He knows schemes. And is very athletic.
Lift the world.
Yeah.
That strong?
That strong.
Strongest guy you've seen down there? Strong?
No, not the strongest guy I've seen down there.
Who's that, by the way?
Jesse Williams, when I was there.
Oh, the defensive lineman who went to Seattle.
Yep.
How about linebacker Ryan Anderson?
Talented. Talented. Could play all over the field if he wanted to. Fast, off the edge, one of the quickest steps on the team. And smart.
How about linebacker Tim Williams?
Athlete. Could play any position. The quickest step off the line I've seen since Davion Clowney.
That quick?
That quick.
Wow. That's saying something.
Yep.
How about linebacker Reuben Foster?
Hitter, I tell you that much. Definitely a hitter. Solid. Is the mic. He runs the defense. He's the heart of the defense. He needs to be on the field. If he's not on the field, the defense is not going to be the defense not going to uphold. And a game changer. Run stopper.
Yep.
And could cover. And he definitely could cover. Could run with linebackers and receivers. I mean, run with running backs and receivers.
How about safety Eddie Jackson?
Smart. Game changer. He get his hands on the ball. He's going for six. He's the back end. He's the heart of the back end. He needs to be on the field. He makes the plays that need to be made and get everybody in position. Smart, fast, and very athletic.
That sounds like a first-round pick to me.
And can play corner. Still.
Whoa. Even more valuable, right?
Very. So you could throw him in the slot if you need to.
And how about cornerback Marlon Humphrey?
I wish I was being an analyst. I was about to say he went 26 for a reason. But definitely a great cornerback. Could cover anybody. Put him on the left and right. He's not just a one side corner. Very talented. Very aware of the ball. Attacks the ball at the highest point. Could run with any receiver out there on the field.
By the way, you know his dad was a great running back for the Denver Broncos.
I know. That's why I said that he's wearing 26 for a reason. Not just because of me. Just his dad too.
His dad. I covered his dad. Not to make myself feel old, but I am old. And his dad was a heck of a running back for the Denver Broncos back in the day.
I already know.
Yeah. How about the tight end on offense, O.J. Howard?
Ooh, athletic. One of the hardest tight ends to cover. fast. He's his speed is it would surprise you, because I mean he doesn't look fast on the field, but he gets going. And I mean, you could see it when he caught that flea flicker. Nobody could get into 5 yards of frame of him. Smart, he can block too. Quick feet and great hands.
And the wide receiver are Darius Stewart.
Oh, he's an athlete, a blocker. He's not afraid to get his nose dirty. Will hit anybody. Great hands and high point in the ball. Make spectacular catches. Put him on the field. He's gonna make it work.
You mentioned great athlete. Aren't these all great athletes, by the way, that go
they
to
are.
Alabama?
Like if you visit Alabama, what we do most of the time is because it's not much to do in Alabama. What we always doing, we always on the court, so we're always better in our skills.
Yeah, and the offensive tackle Cam Robinson is the last guy I got for you. Going to the combine, by my count, though, of course, it's possible I miss somebody.
Who else could you miss? You got almost the whole defense.
I think I got everybody there. And Cam Robinson's the one guy we didn't get the scouting report from you on.
Correct. Cam, oh, man, the best feet, the best left tackle coming out in the draft. He was blocking anybody. Blocking anybody smart. Get down and dirty. He's from Louisiana, so we a different breed down there. Been one of the best since he's been playing as a freshman, and having gave up, I think, what, maybe gave up 2 sacks his whole time being there?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
That's excellent.
You know, last February at the Combine, right before the Combine, I had dinner with your teammate Eli Apple, and we were talking about some of the players that he played with at Ohio State, and I remember saying to him, of all these guys from Ohio State who are here at the Combine this year, who's the one guy in your mind with what you know who's going to make the best NFL player? And I remember always he told me Michael Thomas, the wide receiver, who went on to become a star for the New Orleans Saints this year. So I ask you the same question. Of all these guys who are coming to Indianapolis and are going to be in the draft this spring, who's the one guy in your mind that is the can't-miss NFL player who you know is going to be a standout?
Tim Williams.
That's the guy, huh?
That's the guy.
You'd like to see him on the New York Giants, huh?
Hopefully. I don't think he's going to be there when we need him.
Probably not. You mentioned before about somebody from Louisiana. There was somebody else I know who is from Louisiana. How does a guy who mother wanted him to go to LSU wind up in Tuscaloosa with Nick Saban?
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, you.
I just decided to go with the best coach that knows the defense, that knows the NFL, and puts guys in the best position and put DBs in the NFL. And that's what Coach Saban does. And I wanted to win a championship. No other team was winning championships like Alabama was. So
you say he's the best coach.
Yeah.
So when people ask you, Landon, what's it like to play for Nick Saban? What is it like?
It's hard. It's hard because the whole time you're there, you're trying to gain his trust. I saw guys that came in with me and that are still there, that actually finally getting their time to start. Like one of the guys, I mean, he's after me, but he's been there for 4 years now, going stand for his fifth, and that's Anthony Everett. And it's guys like that, he's still gathering trust from guys like that. And it's hard. It's hard to get on the field when you play for a coach that's basically a perfectionist. And I love it because He wants his guy to be the best, and he wants the best on the field. He's not putting no mediocre player on the field.
It took you a while to get on the field too, if I'm not mistaken. Correct.
It took me. I was really supposed to be on the field my third year. Vinny Cicero didn't get hurt, so I was not going to be able to play. I was going to be there for all 4 years if he did not get hurt.
I mean, it's kind of strange. You go in there as a 5-star recruit.
Yep.
You don't start your first season there. You're a backup and a special teamer.
Yep.
But you dominated on special teams there.
Correct.
And so what did you learn during your time there about what makes Nick Saban so great?
His coaching. He knows who's the best. He knows who's he need to put on the field and who can he trust. I mean, this game is all about trusting who's not going to make a mistake. And the guys he put on there, that's the guys he trusted in and withhold up to their ability. And they did just that.
Where did your competitiveness and toughness come from, Landon?
Oh man, I was 4 years old. My dad knows the story from when I was a toddler and I was playing with 7-year-olds. I was 4 playing with 7-year-olds playing throw a football, And I was chasing a 7-year-old down the field, and he scored, but I still was tackling. I was still chasing him, and I went tackled him, even though he scored. I didn't know no better, but just competitive nature like that, I'm going to make sure you fall and hit the ground.
So as a 4-year-old, you're bringing down 7-year-olds?
Yep.
And how old are you now, 24?
23.
20. I was going to say, as a 24, you'll be bringing 27 and 37-year-olds if you play up against a guy like Tony Romo or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
You're still bringing down older guys. Now, I've got a little bit of a scouting report on you.
Okay.
You could tell me if this is true or not, but I understand that you love to put away Oreo cookies. Is that true?
I used to.
And it affected your weight, right?
Definitely. Affected my weight a lot.
Yeah, they wanted you to play in New York, if I'm not mistaken. They wanted to get you to between 214 and 215, and your rookie year you were between 220 and 225.
Yes, sir.
So how hard was it to lose that extra weight to get down by cutting out those Oreos that you love so much?
It was hard because, I mean, when I was in college, you know, you practice every day. So I put down a pack of Oreos in a day at the time and lose the weight in 2 days, you know, because we practice every day and we practice hard at Alabama. Then when I brought it to the league, I couldn't do that. I didn't realize I couldn't do that because you only practice really hard for 2 days. And other days are kind of like mental days and trying to get your mind right. And in doing so, it kind of affected my weight because I couldn't lose the weight like I needed to.
Mm-hmm. So you're not eating Oreos anymore? Or
nah,
you are?
I put them up. I have not eaten Oreos in a long time.
What else have you cut out of your diet to get the weight down to where it needs to be?
I cut out a lot of pasta, red meat, anything with a lot of carbs I cut out. I'm really eating more of salads, sandwiches, chicken, grilled chicken at that. And my only sweets I replace Oreos with is Mike and Ike's and stuff like that.
So we got to get you a Mike and Ike's deal like Skittles for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, something like that. I try to work on that.
Nobody's brought that to Mike and Ike's attention on your behalf?
No, nobody has yet.
Who's your agent?
David Mugetta.
Yeah, well, we got to talk to David about that. That he's not doing his job if he's not talking to Mike and Ike's then.
Please get on him about that then.
Yeah, honestly, when we get done with this, I'm going to be placing that call to David, and we're going to get that deal done.
Later. Bet. I appreciate that because, I mean, I get about 5 packs a day.
That many?
Yeah.
What else is in your diet, if you don't mind me asking?
Because
I think people don't realize that athletes need to fuel that engine with premium fuel. So yeah. What premium fuel are you putting in your body on a typical basis?
For me, it's more of smoothies with the whey, the muscle milk stuff, milk protein, as meal replacements and stuff like that to fuel the body to get all the proteins that I need. And then I get chicken. I sometimes eat steak, some potatoes, and a few starches. That's really about it.
The Giants have a cook for you at the complex, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And what is the specialty there when you're with the cook at the complex?
My man Jose, he makes me sandwiches.
Jose, well, I love a little shout out for Jose.
Yeah, that's my man. He makes me all the sandwiches that I need. He makes them every week, every day throughout the whole week. He makes the turkey sandwiches with melted cheese on top. And mayonnaise.
Ooh.
Yep.
We got probably, you know what? You should probably replace the mayonnaise.
For what?
Honey mustard, coleslaw, oil and vinegar.
I should replace it, but I need something. I need a little bit of it. You can't get away from all of it now.
Well, there's certain people that should guide you the right, like Antrell Roll. He's come by there. Has he not given you pointers about what it takes to stay in this league for a long time and play at a premium elite level?
Yes, of course he does. Yes, he definitely has. And, we talk to him all the time. I got his number, actually, and we talk all the time and about the game and what to do and what I need to do and stuff like that. So he definitely gave me pointers about my eating habits.
What have you taken away from him in those conversations?
Just the way to be a pro bowler and all pro. And basically just saying that you got to take into account that you need to be the back end. You need to be the heart of the back end and making sure you understand everybody's position. And in doing so, you can put yourself in the right position to make plays. And when you do that, it makes you the player that I am now. And learn as many positions as I can. If I could learn the D-line, the linebackers, the corners, and safeties, man, I'd be all over the field making plays, and that's what I did this year, and caused me to make the plays that I made this year.
So that was the reason for the big jump. You learned all that stuff over the course of the early part of your career here.
Yeah, I learned from that, from the gap schemes that the defense given us, from the linebackers and where they're going to be at and what gaps they're hitting, and then from the corners and where they're going to be at and if they're going to be trapping it flat or be over the top or I need to be underneath them and stuff like that. So, yeah, I learned almost every position.
What has surprised you most about playing in the NFL so far?
What has surprised me most? How much determination that it takes to be and play at this high level, to continue playing at a high level. Because, I mean, everybody can have a great game or one or two great games, but to have a great game each and every week, the determination it takes to play is hard.
How about the transition from Louisiana to New York? What have you learned about living in New York or New Jersey, but really right outside of New York City, maybe even live there, who knows? But what have you learned about that transition? Because that's quite a difference, being from Louisiana and then Tuscaloosa and now living here outside the Big Apple.
It's a big difference, like you said. It's a lot going on here all the time. Then we got the president about to have the city shut down most of the time. So it's like, how do you manage your time between it? Because, I mean, I'm not a guy, I don't like to go to the city that much, so it doesn't really bother me to go in there. But at the same time, when you go there, how do you manage your time of being there? Because it's so much to do with so little time. And then you have football the next morning or the next day, you know. And it's really time management out there. I mean, any other place, I think you have a great time because, I mean, it's less to do. But here is so much.
What has drawn you into the city? Like, what makes you go into the city when you have so much football responsibility?
Really, like, everybody wanted to go see a Rangers game or a Knicks game or a Yankees game. So, basically, the sports that's playing there, too, because all the sports are played in New York besides the Giants.
Have you been to a bunch of those games so far?
I have been up to 5 Knicks games, and I've been to my first Rangers game yesterday.
How'd you like that?
It was fun. It's fun. It's definitely fun. I have an amazing time.
Those hockey players, they're pretty tough now.
Yeah.
You know, that's about the closest it gets to the toughness of football.
Yeah, my cousin was telling me, like, 4 of the Rangers had, like, black eyes. I was like, man.
No one ever gets black eyes in football, do they?
No, we get busted lips and teeth and stuff.
Yeah, those hockey players are pretty tough. What do you like about going to the Knicks games?
Not really a basketball fan, but being there makes you more of a basketball fan. So just watching really Melo doing his thing, crossing people over and just pulling it up in their face and stuff like that. You see crazy things. Then you see crazy layups when the people just go and eat the gold and then wrapping it around and throwing it up and it just dropping right in. I mean, stuff like that you see on TV, but I mean, it's not like actually being there.
Do they put you on the floor, on the courtside seats?
Yeah, they put me on the floor at the basketball games.
Any famous celebs other than yourself that you bumped into?
Money Mayweather, Janoris Jenkins.
Well, you've met him before, right?
Yeah, I've met him a couple times. a few other guys.
That works out pretty well. How about Little Wayne? You ever met him?
I only met him twice. I met him we was doing a Katrina movie, Hurricane Katrina, with the John Eric, the basketball team.
Yep.
And I actually met him that because my mom used to work movie sets, and he was there, and actually got to, like, literally, we made had a handshake, and that was about the only time I met him. He said, "What's up?" I mean, it was crazy when I met LaWayne.
Because I understand that you always have his music on in the meeting room.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that gets you all amped up.
Yes, definitely.
So what was that like to meet him for the first time?
Oh, man, it was crazy. I didn't know what to say. You're starstruck when you meet your favorite rapper, you know? It's like, if I meet my favorite singer one day, Beyonce, I'll be starstruck too. So we'll see.
You've never met Beyonce?
No, I have not. I've been to a concert, though. I was real close. I was, like, on the stage right next to the right of it and taking nothing but videos all the time.
When did you get to meet Lil Wayne? When was that?
When was it? It was right after Katrina, so like 11, I was 11 or 12.
And what, so your mom works on movie sets?
She used to make, like, the costume designer. She used to dress like Denzel Washington, Lil Wayne, big name, whoever they needed her to dress, she dressed all of them.
And would you get to meet all the, like, I know you met Lil Wayne here, but did you get to meet Denzel also?
No, I didn't get to meet Denzel. I was actually in school, and I had football practice and stuff like that, so my mom was on football.
Now, my understanding also is, and you tell me if my scouting report matches up to you, that you are a big-time card player, that you're playing spades all the time.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Now, I understand you need a little work there. You need a little help that you get whooped up on pretty good. Is that accurate?
That's not accurate at all.
That's not what I'm told, Landon.
That is not accurate. I was playing one time against my coach. They beat us. But when I got my real partner, they did not want that issue. They did not want it. They got, like, we kept asking them to come, but we heard the crickets. It was like, I got to watch this film. I got to do this. I got to do that. I said, all right. I don't want the issue. So
that was it.
That was it.
Is the clothing business that you have still going on?
Yes, definitely. It's on my Twitter and it's on my Instagram. It's actually, I think, Landon Collins 21. It's on my Instagram and Twitter. It's in my bio.
And what is this business, if you could explain to me?
It's basically just that's following my name and how I feel. I mean, a couple of shirts say humble. So a lot of them say 21. Some of them say stay humble. And it has both of my college and NFL number on it. And it's really just representing Sean Taylor at the same time. Because, I mean, I wear his number because I wanted to idolize my game after him.
Is that – I never realized that. You wear your number for Sean Taylor?
Yes.
How come? Like, what did you love about his game?
The passion, basically the passion he brought to the game. I never knew him outside. I always asked questions to guys that played with him and that was around him, like RC, Ryan Clark. I always asked him questions about him and just the type of person he was and what he brought to the game. I mean, he brought game-changing moments and he brought fear to the game. He brought fear to quarterbacks and to throw the ball deep. And when they saw him deep, they was like, oh, my God, please don't touch the ball. You know, stuff like that. And then that's how I want to idolize my game after. I want to be that same type of safety back there.
You know, when I was younger, and you probably wouldn't even remember this, but the New York Yankees had a catcher by the name of Thurman Munson. When he passed away, it was a moment I never forgot. It was a moment that impacted me tremendously. How old were you and where were you when you found out that Sean Taylor lost his life?
I was... actually in elementary school. No, I was in middle school when it happened. I was 11, 12 years old. And when I found out, I heard it over the news. It's like Sean Taylor's in the hospital. He's been shot. And all I was trying to figure out what happened because I knew he was hurt. So I was like, how did he get shot? Because usually players, if you get hurt or something like that, if it's a bad injury, you go home. But, I mean, he hurt his knee and he was still walking though, right? But he was just... I guess he just went home. He decided to go home because most players go with the team or go with the team on away games, and they let him go home. I'm like, what happened? And when I found out that he passed, it was devastating.
I never realized that's why you wore the number. That's amazing. So what is ahead for you this offseason? What's the goal now to help you get your game to the next level?
I talked to Ryan Clark. He watches all my games, so we kind of go over it. Then we go from there. We pick and choose what we need to work at. He was like, from the games he was saying, he said, I need to work on my press game. Mm-hmm. He's like, my press coverage and getting my head around for the balls. Because I could have made more interceptions, he said, if I just turn back and look for the ball besides just playing through the receiver. And I said, yeah, stuff like that. Then what else he said? And just more conditioning, just trying to get more around the ball a lot faster and a lot quicker.
So we got to work on our press, our conditioning. We got to get an Ike and Mike's deal.
Yeah.
We got to meet Beyonce.
Yeah.
And if we could do all that, then it's a successful offseason.
Successful, right. It'd be great.
Right? So I got to talk to David. We got to see if we could work out this Beyonce thing.
All right.
And if we can make all that happen, then it'll be a tremendous offseason. You'll be ready for the 2017 season.
Correct.
What are we going to see in 2017?
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it because this season surprised me, so I'm looking to be surprised again.
Why did it surprise you this season?
Because as a second-year player, I mean, you're looking to play better than you did your first year, but, I mean, at the same time, to have the year that I had, as in the sacks, the interceptions, and being in a running for – defensive player of the year. I mean, you don't expect those type of things your second year. You expect to just be above average, and by your third or fourth year, you expect to be one of the elite. And that's what I expect, and the same thing, but God has blessed me early and gave me these chances and these blessings.
It sure has. And so this year exceeded even your expectations, I take it.
It has. It has. It surprised me by a lot, and I just try to keep it running from there.
Well, lots of luck keeping it running, Landon, and just keep working hard. Keep staying away from those Oreos.
I will.
Keep bringing down those Ike and Mikes, and I wish you the best of luck in 2017, and I really appreciate you providing that Alabama scouting report for all the NFL coaches and scouts at Indianapolis here in the coming days.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Landon.
No problem.